Okay, dear friends. Dear friends, we are going to now focus on the next part of this session. As you know from your program, the topic is the choice wine, and you are already intoxicated. Nevertheless, the person who is going to come about and increase your wonderment is a wonderful person himself. He is the biggest.
I just want him to be careful.
He's the biggest auxiliary board member around. Just stay here.
I want to watch the rest of this.
He's from New Jersey. He's a professional photographer. He travels all the world and takes the picture of people, photography that allows him to put the people's picture when they make fool of themselves and when they are happy. His greatest assignment came when he was the official photographer for the 1983 International Convention in Haifa. He is the auxiliary board member for New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. Mr. Bob Harris.
Aloha, friends. He is the only psychiatrist I would ever kiss. If you kiss any of the others, they say, please come back and see me next week. So. I think that you all may be just about talked out. And we are heading, friends, tonight for the Last Supper. Because tomorrow we have to go. I know. How do you like the New World Order? How do you like this? In the writings of Baha'u'llah, in his tablets, he tells us this wonderful vision. In this day, a great festival is taking place in the realm above. For whatsoever was promised in the sacred scriptures hath been fulfilled. This is the day of great rejoicing. It behooveth everyone to hasten toward the court of his nearness with exceeding joy, gladness, exaltation, and delight. And I think, friends, that it's only fair that for us to have our festival here in Canada, that the Abha Kingdom should be having its own festival as well. And I think that we are very much connected with them. Now, friends, I'd like to give you a very long talk, but I can't because of my throat. I apologize. Now, really, Hossein has threatened to cut it if I go longer than 30 minutes. But I'm so excited because of the people who are here. Do you have any idea who you are? Do you have any idea that you've come from 52 countries to be here today? Every province of Canada, most of the states of the United States. Friends, even I met one person this morning. I asked him, "Are you awake?" He kind of mumbled. Many of you were mumbling this morning. I said, "Where are you from?" And he didn't really say, but I figured that he was from the great state of shock. We really do have to get a little more sleep, friends. Also, when we talk about states, I want to talk about my favorite state, Texas. Where's Wayne? Dwayne, where are you? Did you hear those things he said about Texas? About y'all and all that. Did you hear them, eh? Did you hear them? I was on a plane once in Texas, and the crew changed, and this very big guy, as big as Bill Hatcher, got on the plane. And he was the pilot. I was very worried. And he said, "I'm from Texas, son, where men are men and women are women." And I said, "We have very much the same arrangement in New Jersey." Dwayne, if you don't think I like Texas, where are you, Dwayne? You're right. Thank you very much. I live in a wonderful place near New York City, which is the City of the Covenant, which is the place where Abdu'l-Bahá spent so much time. In my home state, New Jersey, is the home of the souvenir picnic, where Abdu'l-Bahá's souvenir of his visit is celebrated every year. It's a wonderful place to be. Come and visit us. And what I like so much about the New York area is that there is tremendous communication in the New York area. When you go from New Jersey into New York, you go through the Lincoln Tunnel, and it's a tunnel. You see the Statue of Liberty before you go under the river. It's wonderful. And they have these giant cliffs. They're called the Palisades. And on the Palisades, people write things like, "John loves Mary," or "Fred loves George," or even stranger things. And on the cliff, someone had written, "You must pay for your sins." And underneath, someone had run up to the side of a cliff and wrote under this, "If you have already paid, please disregard this notice." I must tell you, friends, that I felt as though I were in the middle of a movie this morning when I got into the elevator. There were four or five people milling around, not knowing where the elevator was going. I said, "It only goes up or down. You really can't go sideways on this." And there was a group particularly zombie-like. I thought I was in the Night of the Living Dead, where all the zombies walk around. And I would like to introduce to you one of the zombies, because they have very good reason to be zombies. From the Blackfoot Reserve, I would like to introduce to you Terry Black and the Zombies. Come on out here, Terry. This, friends, is part of our youth movement, and I want Terry to explain to everyone, especially the security people, why he did not get to sleep until 5 a.m.
Last night, us five, me and Kaylin Anderson, Shirley MacLaine, Marilyn MacLaine, and Cheryl Johnson. We got the munchies last night. We were hungry at 2 o'clock in the morning. And So we decided, well, let's go out and eat at a pizza place somewhere downtown. And we started driving, and we just went straight on. And, you know, we saw this Max store go by, and we said, no, I don't want to go to Max. And so we just kept on going until we reached the other side of town. And when we reached the other side of town, the only thing left was a Max store. And so I thought, so I was driving up, and I was going, well, you guys want to stop at the Max store and eat there? And they all decided, okay. And so we went over to the Max store, walked in, bought our food. And this guy was wondering about the tags we were wearing and where it was from. And we told him that we were from a Baha'i International Youth Conference. And he wanted to find out more information. And so we gave him information for 2.5 hours. And at 4:40 this morning, he declared Our teaching effort is dedicated to Mona.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. So how do you like this youth movement? Huh? Okay. And youth are growing. More and more people are either trying to look younger, but actually it's more and more people are being born, and of course they start at a very young age. We know that. In fact, our dear hand of the cause the other night was talking about the statistics of the growth of youth. Friends, I came across a statistic that is so alarming, this conference must do something about this. In the world, listen to this statistic, friends. In the world, every second a woman is giving birth to a child. We must find this woman and stop her. Friends, please, my time is up if you're going to laugh for a long time. Could we all practice a short laugh? Would you all just say, ha? That's enough. You see, it's much shorter this way. In 1880, two wonderful things happened. Hossein Dinesh was born. Friends, let's try it again. Ha. Thank you. And if you really like something, you can give it one clap. That's enough. But there was a conference held by a Methodist bishop in Indiana. And this Friends, please, Hussein is going to cut me off. And I'm not even past the first paragraph here. This man was a very conservative bishop. He was trying to find clergymen who would do study, serious study, on the future of the world as predicted in the Bible. And there were many serious topics about the return of Christ and fulfillment of prophecies and the Jews returning to the Holy Land and many very important things. One young clergyman got up and wanted to present a paper, and the title of his paper, Men Will Fly. This bishop was so incensed that at his very serious conference, this man would even think of delivering a talk on such a ridiculous and silly subject. And so he went to the man very quietly and he said, really, sir, this is not the kind of conference for this kind of presentation. The man said, really, I found many references in the Bible that, you know, people will fly someday. The bishop said, forget it. The only people who fly in the Bible are angels, and we are not angels and all this. And in fact, this bishop was very upset. And he closed the conference. He said, if this is the kind of silliness we're going to have, the conference is over. He stormed out. And he went home, and in order to relax, this bishop sat down and played with his two young sons. His two little boys, Orville and Wilbur Wright. That was worth more than one. That's enough. Friends, what seems impossible to one generation is not impossible to the next. This conference is impossible for the generation of our Hands of the Cause. They've told me this. This is a miracle before their very eyes. It is impossible for people to fly in 1880, but two youthful people open a bicycle shop in Dayton, and for crying out loud, we're flying all over the world. And there is nothing, friends, that we are going to be prouder and happier of than in 25 or 30 years. Maybe we'll be together in this place or some stadium somewhere, and you'll bring your children to a youth conference, and they're going to say, "Do you remember 1984? You people really did move the world, you youth." And the only way that we can move the world is if Baha'u'llah moves our heart. If we adorn our heart with his love, then we can do everything. Without that, we can do nothing. In June 1983, a few days after the martyrdom of the teenagers in Shiraz, including 16-year-old Mona, the House of Justice sent the youth of the world a message. And in that message, they beseeched us to do something with our vision, to remember something and picture it. They said, "Let them recall the blessings Baha'u'llah promised those who will in the prime of youth arise to adorn their hearts with his love and remain steadfast and firm." The blessings for Mona and for her companions is eternal reunion with Baha'u'llah at the age of 16. Her heart was adorned with his love, and she was steadfast and firm. Another youth whose name I would like to mention, whose heart was adorned with the love of Baha'u'llah, served Baha'u'llah as a youth. And as an old man, he came here to North America, and he served so many of us. Our dear Hand of the Cause, Mr. Samandari. His blessings for remaining steadfast and firm was that he was able to serve Baha'u'llah. He was able to serve Abdu'l-Bahá. He was able to serve our beloved guardian. He was able to serve our supreme universal house of justice. And I think perhaps his greatest blessing came in 1963 when in London at the World Congress, this wonderful gathering of the Baha'i world coming together, celebrating so many wonderful things. The 100th anniversary of the faith of Baha'u'llah in 1963. The establishment of the Supreme Body, the Universal House of Justice, the triumphant conclusion of Shoghi Effendi's 10-year crusade. And with his wondrous vision of Baha'u'llah still in his eyes, and with the love of Baha'u'llah still in his heart, he reminded the Baha'is there of a promise that God made to Baha'u'llah. The promise that God made to Baha'u'llah as the manifestation of God lay chained in the Siyashal in Tehran. And in Baha'u'llah's words, he describes his revelation like this. One night in a dream, these exalted words were heard on every side. "Verily, we shall render thee victorious by thyself and by thy pen. Grieve thou not for that which hath befallen thee, neither be thou afraid, for thou art in safety. Ere long will God raise up the treasures of the earth, men who will aid thee through thyself and through thy name." God promised Baha'u'llah victory through his pen, the pen of revelation. Samandari looked out at the audience, the knights of Baha'u'llah, the victors of the cause of God, who had spread the faith to more than 100 countries, who had brought into being the Universal House of Justice, and he said something that is so meaningful to all of us. He said, "The pen of Baha'u'llah has conquered the world."